All right, let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. And we will pick up here at verse number 21. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 21. The Bible says this. Paul says, Philippians 1, 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all your furtherance and joy of faith." Father, thank you for your word. Help us now tonight. Lord, guide us and direct us in all truth, wisdom, and understanding. Lord, help us to glean from your word tonight. This we ask in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be seated. All right. Okay, brethren. Philippians 1, verse number 21. Paul says this. He says, "For me to live is Christ." Well, I just says it. For me to live is Christ. Take your Bible. Go to John 14. John 14. John 14. And verse number 6. I know you know the verse, but John 14, verse 6. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ." The Lord Jesus said in John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 11. John 11 and verse 23. John 11, verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Take your Bible, go to Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 1. Jesus said, Colossians 3 and verse 1, Paul said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." You see what the Lord said? The Bible said that Christ is our life. And Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." And then quickly, 1 John 5. 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verse 12. 1 John 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." There it is. If you have the Son of God, you have life. And he should be your life. And if you don't have the Son of God, you don't have life. You know, it's strange, isn't it? Used to, people were told, get a job. You know what they're told today? Get a life. It's got pretty bad, hadn't it? It's gone from needing a job where a man needs a life. And they do. People need a life. But the life they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But so Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." Brethren, what Christ said was real and true to Paul. When Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." When Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and the life." That was true to Paul. It was true to him, and it should be true for us. Christ is life. And he should be our life. Let me ask you something. How would you feel in this statement? "For me to live is hunting. For me to live is eating. For me to live is," a lot of the world say, "sex. For me to live is sports. For me to live is a husband. For me to live is a wife. For me to live is a job." Okay, tonight, there's a group loads of people that would say, "For me to live is the Super Bowl." Sad, ain't it? Did you know that? Think about that. Did you know a guy came up to me the other day? A guy that I know came up to me the other day out of Muscorn. He said, "I'm conducting a poll." I thought he was kidding around, and he halfway was. He said, "But I want to ask you something." He says, "Are y'all having church Sunday night?"
I said, yeah, we sure are. He said, well, good. He says, good. He goes, I'm glad. He goes, well, he says, did you know a lot of people aren't? I said, huh? Super Bowl night. I'm going to tell you something, brethren. That's shameful. That's shameful. I know we all got things in our life that the Lord has to deal with us about. But I'll be, man. That's embarrassing. That's one of those things. At least you ought to have enough decency to hide the fact, man. Or if your heart was wanting to do that, man, you ought to say it's a shameful. Not having church. I tell you something, brethren. Don't get me wrong. I know we've all got to face the Lord as individuals. But I tell you what. I'd hate to face the Lord with that thing right there. That's a shameful thing. What a thing to face God. Look here. That cancel church services for the brethren to get together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ for a football game. That's embarrassing, brethren. It's shameful. It's shameful. And then he said, well, some churches, they're just kind of instead, they're bringing the TV in. That's still shameful. If you roll the TV in, guess what everybody's thinking about? Man, you know, brethren, that's, look here. And this nation's on the right track? Got to be kidding me. No wonder things are like they are. When churches, who ought to know better, and that shouldn't even be, it shouldn't even compute, man. That shouldn't even fit. And I'll be like, what? You're joking, right? Man, it ain't even a funny joke. Don't joke like that. Yeah, you want to tell somebody, hey, that's not funny. No, don't joke like that. Right, no, I'm not joking. Sad, brother. You know, some folks, I mean, brother, look here, tonight, if God wasn't as good as He is, but we're Gentiles. We're a Gentile nation. We weren't the Jewish people who had the promises, the covenants, and all like that. How many people tomorrow, Lord, help me in my life, and you put a football game before the Lord Jesus Christ? And you know what? God's so good. Look how merciful He is. You know what I'm saying, brethren? Merciful ain't the word. If God was you and me, He'd have destroyed this mess a long time ago. He's not to be toyed with, but brethren, the mercy and long-suffering that God has. But anyway, getting back to the thing at hand. How would you fill in that line? For me to live is... You know, some people say, man, I just live for... Well, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Man, listen. If life is not Christ to you, for me to live is Christ. If life is not Christ to you, then you know what? Be honest with Him. Tell Him, Lord, You used to be life to me, but I've let other things get in the way. I'm sorry. Repent and put Him first. And say, Lord, help my heart to get back around. So, Lord, look, for me to live is You. And look what He says next. He says, for me to live is Christ. And then He says, and to die is gain. Wow. Only the born-again believer can say that. If you want to see the difference, we were talking earlier at 5 o'clock about rightly dividing. Well, here's another example of rightly dividing. Paul, after the cross, can say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. All right, take your Bible. Go to 2 Kings 22. And let's look at a righteous man before the cross and what he said about death. 2 Kings 22. Second Kings 20, I'm sorry. My zero looked like a two. You'd have to know my handwriting. Hezekiah, brethren, Hezekiah was a good king. He was a righteous man. Hezekiah was a good king, a righteous man. Watch this. 2 Kings 20, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and said, for me to die is gain. And prayed to the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the bowl, and he recovered. Now here's Hezekiah fixing to die. And he turns his face to the wall and weeps and cries. And God hears him and says, Hezekiah, I've heard you. I'll give you 15 more years. Here's Paul saying, For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And Hezekiah was, said, Brother Dolph, something must not have been right in Hezekiah's life. Not one thing in the world. He was right as rain. Everything's fine with him. So with all what was going on, that was prior to the cross versus after the cross. Hezekiah, when Hezekiah pulled that last breath, he wasn't going to heaven. He wasn't going to hell, but he wasn't going to heaven either. He was going to paradise, Abraham's bosom, if you will. He was going down to the lower, not purgatory, no such place. He was going down there to the lower parts of the earth, across from hell, a place called paradise, because he couldn't go to heaven yet because the blood atonement had not been made. Once Christ had made that atonement, he was able to take those souls and take them on once he rose again. Alright, but at that point they couldn't go to heaven because in the Old Testament the atonement hadn't been made. And so here he's weeping, he's crying. He ain't going to hell, but he ain't going to heaven yet either. Here's Paul after the cross. The atonement's complete. What did Paul say in Corinthians? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul said, For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Nobody try to tell you there ain't a difference between the Old and New Testament. You better believe it. You better believe it's different prior to the cross versus after the cross. Do you know something? Paul says, For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. The atheist can't say that. I mean, what's the best the atheist can say is what? For me to die is the break even. I mean, really? Isn't that wonderful? What a hope. For me to die is maybe break even. The evolutionist, for me to die is the Paul said it was gain. Paul said dying for him wasn't leveling out or work. It was gain to him. Did you know the Hindu can't say that? For me to live is to come back as a grasshopper. Cow. Donkey. Oh no. I mean, what joy is in that? For me to die is... Who knows? They can't say that. Let me tell you something. The Muslim and the Buddhist may say it, but it's false and without foundation for them. It's only the true born-again believer can say this and have it grounded upon foundational truth. The believer can't lose. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. You can't lose. If you're saved, you can't lose. To live for you should be Christ. He'll never let you down. Hunting, you get tired of. Fishing, you get tired of. All kinds of things in life, I'm telling you, brother. I'm telling you. The people ultimately get to the point where, especially they lose interest in things, interest change. You'll never get tired of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you allow Him to, He'll just grow more sweeter as every day goes by. And then to die is gain. Like the one fellow had a gun pulled on him, he was saved, told the fellow, You can't scare me with heaven. You can't scare me with heaven. Listen, it's gain. To know Christ in fellowship here and to know Him in fellowship there. To see, worship, and adore Him. To have a glorified body. To sin no more. Gain, brethren. I mean, there's so much we can have of Christ now, if we will. But when we die, to know Him. To see the One. You see, right now, the devil tries to attack our mind and make us think that, Lord, don't really care, or, you know, we've disappointed so often. And the devil tries to mess with you so often. But you're going to see Him there and you'll get the full picture. And you'll see Him that loved you more than anybody's ever loved you. You'll be able to worship Him. Sometimes you get so frustrated because you want to express to Him how much you... And you just want to see Him. And you'll get to. You'll get to worship and adore Him in completeness, in perfection. You'll have a body that won't sin no more. Glory to God. A body that won't get sick no more. You better believe. For the believer to die is gain. Alright? Look what he says next. Verse 21, For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He says, But if I live in the flesh, that this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. The word wot in the dictionary means to know, to be aware. In other words, Paul's saying that he didn't know what to choose. He was kind of torn here. You see, in the flesh, if he stayed in the flesh, he could bear fruit for God. But to depart and be with Christ was better for him. To remain was better for them. Okay? And so he was kind of torn here. For himself, Paul would be better off pulling out and being with Jesus. But the brethren would be better off if he stayed and could instruct and help them. Again, to depart was better for him, to remain was better for them. Notice what he says, it wasn't his choice. He says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. In other words, okay, if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor and I'll live for the Lord. But yet what I shall choose, I wot not. I don't know what to choose. I don't know which one to do. And it wasn't his choice. It was the Lord's choice. See, Paul couldn't go and say, it's time to pull out of here. That's wrong. Say, that's right, preacher, because King Seth, go to hell. Brother, that ain't in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. I believe you'll lose rewards. The Bible says in Proverbs, put not forth thyself in the presence of the prince in the eyes of the saint, lest thou be put lower in his sight. I believe if you put yourself in the presence of Christ on your own time, you're going to lose position and reward. Your life's not yours to take if you're saved. You finish up for Christ. And keep that thought in mind. Keep that thought in mind. It'll have bearing as we go along tonight. So Paul couldn't make that choice. He wanted to go on to be with Christ. But it wasn't right to take his life. It was God's choice to make. And so it wasn't his choice, but he was willing to accept whatever Christ's choice was. You and I need to so walk with God that if God's choice for you is to go on home, you should say, yes, Lord. If God's choice is for you to continue on here, yes, Lord. It's whatever will bring glory most to Him. That's what matters. Look what He says in verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two. He said, I'm torn here. I'm in a situation here that I'm torn between two things. Y'all heard me talk about that ready for either thing, the ox and the... This is what C.H. Spurgeon, this is what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said this. He said, let me be as the bullock which stands between the plow and the altar, to work or to be sacrificed. And let my motto be, ready for either. The Waldensians, I believe, were the first one to take that up. Spurgeon knew of it and spoke of it too, and it's wonderful it is, because that's Paul right here. Look at Paul. He says, that's right here. Get in your mind. Paul is that ox, man. He's standing there. And Paul's like, that altar means gain. I can be with Christ. That plow means pulling here for Jesus and plowing the ground and hauling loads and helping folks, helping the brethren. It'd be better for me to go. If I can do more good for others here, Lord, it's your choice, but I'm ready for either. Amen! That should be our motto. That should be our cry. I love it. I love it. I'm telling you, brother, that should be our... If we had a church... A motto, if we had a church, ensign, if we had a church, I love it, man. While the ensigns use it, that should be our cry. Ready for you. By the grace of God. Look here. Look what he says next. For I am the strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Now I want to show you the difference here. Many folks today, many professing Christians and folks who don't profess to be Christians, many desire to depart. That's not what Paul said. He said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Many desire to depart. You know why? They're miserable. Fed up. Just, you know. Many people, like, I'm tired. I'm weary. I don't put up with no more. Disappointment after disappointment. Pain, misery, disappointment. I'm tired of it. I want to get out of here. That was not Paul's attitude. He said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. Not just in life. To be with Christ. That's the difference. And I'm going to tell you something. Many desire because they just want heaven. But hold on. A Buddhist wants heaven. Whatever his idea of heaven is, that's what he wants. A Muslim wants heaven. Strange idea he's got of it. But he wants it. Paul wanted to be with Christ. That's the difference. You see, it should be that to you, heaven is Christ. Christ is heaven and heaven is Christ. You understand what I'm saying? You should have the attitude of what good is heaven without Jesus. What is heaven about Jesus? He's everything. He's all. He's everything. Well, they asked one old saint years ago something about that, and he's, look, I'd rather be in hell with Jesus than in heaven without him. And I'd rather be in hell with Jesus than in heaven without him. Because I tell you what, anywhere you're with Jesus, you're all right. And being in heaven without him, I wouldn't want to be, brethren, I wouldn't want to be anywhere in this universe without Jesus. Seriously. What is that? He should be everything. That's the reason a lot of folks get misguided. They claim to want salvation, but they don't want Jesus, they just want heaven. They're looking for a glorified fire escape. I don't want hell. Of course I want heaven. I don't want to die. I want to live forever. But they want Jesus. The born again person should desire. You should have got. Because you want Jesus. You love that one who loved you first. Bible is saying we love heaven because since we love Him. Because He first loved us. You should love the person of Jesus Christ. Heaven's a fringe benefit, glory to God. We should love Him. It's all about Him. And you know what? Listen. If you want to be with Him, you'll spend time with Him now. Think about that. Yeah, people are, oh, heaven, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. You know, and people talk about that. Okay, that's true. Then we should spend time with Him now. Brother, if a person says, I just want to be with Jesus and they never read their Bible, it sounds like just lip service. If a person says, I want to be with Jesus and never spends time alone with Him or pray or talk, then that there's something suspect in those words. If we want to see Him personally, we ought to spend time with Him now. We need to ask ourselves, why do you desire to depart? Hopefully it's not just because your life's not going the way you want it to go. It should be because you desire to see Him. You know something? That's the difference between, we mentioned this morning, godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow says, yeah, I'm sorry because I'm in a mess. My life's a mess. God, I'm just in a mess. I want things to be different. Godly sorrow says, God, I ain't worried about the mess I'm in. I caused it. I deserve it. God, I'm sorry because I've offended You, the only perfect being there is, the only one that really loved me. God, I've offended You. That's what I'm sorry about. Worldly sorrow worketh death. Worldly sorrow, a person just looking for some, you know, just looking to get out of the mess they're in. A lot of people deceive themselves. Godly sorrow is sorrow toward God. God, I've offended You, and I want to be right with You. And make sure, listen, that the reason, if you say, I'm just ready to get out of this life, is it to see Jesus or you're just miserable right now? But I'll say I am miserable. Well, the Bible says we're to rejoice and you can have victory. Don't concentrate on your situations. Concentrate on the One who loves you and has given all for you. If you concentrate on your circumstances, you are going to be greatly... I know the circumstances throw us for a loop. But you can't dwell on them. You can't live there. The Bible says when things happen, we're to rejoice. The Lord said in the world we should have tribulation, be of good cheer. The believer should be able to, by the grace of God, concentrate on the Lord and have victory and joy, though we get thrown loops. Sure we do. So brethren, let's be careful. Look what he says. Philippians 1 says, for I'm at verse 23, for I'm in the strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ. Look what he says, which is far better. Which is far better. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. You know what? I mentioned that Super Bowl stuff a while ago. You know what? If I knew somebody was trying to get away to go to the Super Bowl, I think I'd probably go for 3 hours. I think I'd probably time it, man. No, I'm just picking. I wouldn't do that kind of thing. But that'd be a sad thing, man. You know what I'm saying? That'd be a sad kind of thing. Look here. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Brethren, to die and to be with Christ was better for Paul. It's better for you and I, though it may be more needful for us to remain here. Look at verse 24. He said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So, to remain in this life was better for the brethren. It was better for Paul to depart. It was better for the brethren if he remained. Can I ask you something? Are people benefited by your life? See, God wanted Paul to stay for a while because others were benefited by him. When Paul's done, when he's finished, God's going to call him on. But brethren, let me ask you something. Are people benefited or hindered by you? Is it better for God to keep you around and take you on? Just, you know what I'm saying? Are people benefit? Listen, do you benefit encourage, help people, or do you drag them down?
Look here. Now hold on. I know the battles are going to your mind sometimes.
Preacher, you're right. I'd be better off dead.
Well, hold on.
Saved, yes, you would be. That's what Paul said. To die is gain.
But would others be better off if you were dead?
Listen to me. Preacher, I'm telling you, I'd just be better off dead.
Well, yeah, that's true for every saved person. Now, if you're not saved, though, you wouldn't be. God help you. This is only heaven you're ever going to know. Ain't that sad? That's heartbreaking, ain't it? But if you're lost, this is the only heaven you'll ever know.
Ugh!
Drive down the road and look.
Ugh!
This is the only heaven you'll ever know? Man, if you're saved, this is the only hell you'll ever know.
Man.
But let me look here. Yes, if you're saved, it would be better off to die. It was for Paul. But Paul knew that it was better for others if he remained. Let me ask you, would others be better off with you remaining?
Now, I know the thoughts that go in your head sometimes. Yes, yes, Brother Dawson, my wife, my husband, my children, everybody would be better off if I was out of here.
Okay, hold on. I guarantee you, some of you have heard that. You've heard it in your head. You've heard it. I know that stuff. Man, it seems like sometimes after I get done preaching, man, I go through, man, brethren, I covet your prayers. After I get done preaching, especially on Sunday night sometimes, I have been pounded by the enemy. I have laid in bed and just it seems like my failures and my failings come before my face sometimes in the evening and it just seems like I'm just crushed by it. There's times I just said, oh Lord, help me. And I just feel like the worst daddy and the worst husband that's ever been. And I mean, it just really hits me sometimes in the evening after Sundays. I mean, I just feel like I am pounded sometimes. But look here, I want to help you. If you've ever felt that. I know I have. I have. I've felt those things that, Lord, I think a lot of folks would be better off for if you just took me out of here.
Listen to me real good.
Brother Off, I know that. I know that feeling. Brother Off, I think sometimes people would be better off if I was out of here. But can I ask you one question? Then why hasn't God took you yet? It's not your choice, is it? Suicide's wrong. It's not your choice. God's pretty wise, isn't he? He's pretty smart, isn't he? He's smart. He's a wise God, isn't he? I think he probably knows best, doesn't he? So why has he left you? I'll tell you, if you're saved, why has he left you? Maybe it's because that you are benefiting people more than you realize, or more than the devil's lying to you about, and he's wanting to try to get you to swallow you up in self-pity and discourage you. Face facts, not feelings. Why are you still here? If it was better for you to go, don't you think the Lord would have took you? I believe honestly with all my heart, if you're saved, if it was better for you to be out of here, the Lord would go ahead and took you. If he hasn't, I guess he knows best. I guess maybe you're not that hindrance he's trying to tell you you are. Why hasn't God took you yet? It's his call to make, not yours. It's his call. Don't listen to the eyes of the enemy. Pick your head up and march on. Pick your head up and you march on. And quit face facts and not lies. Lies are, well, you don't deserve to be here. You're just a hand. I don't know why God's got you around. But he does, doesn't he? So guess he's not done. Guess it's better for you to be here. Pick your head up. March on. Quit listening to those lies. Look at verse 25. And having this confidence. Confidence in the dictionary means a trusting or reliance, an assurance of mind or firm belief in the truth and reality of a fact. So what did Paul have confidence in? In this, that though it was better for him to depart and to be with Christ, it was more needful to be with them. And he knew that this was true. He had confidence in this by virtue of the fact that since it was the Lord's choice to make, and he was keeping Paul here at the present, Paul could confidently know that, you know what? God's not taking me out. He's leaving me here. And so this is all for good. And it says, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. God knows best. He's leaving me here. There's a reason. And unless he takes me out, then I know I'm going to continue with all with you all and be a help to you and for your furtherance and joy of faith. Don't listen to lies. Look at facts. Go to Psalm 84. Psalm 84.
Psalm 84, and I want you to look here at verse 10. Psalm 84 and verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord God will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is a man that trusteth in Thee. Brother, look here. Paul, listen, look here. He was just ready. He said he'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Whatever God wanted for him, he was yielded to. If God wanted Paul in bonds, if being in bonds would help the brethren and encourage others, then so be it. That's what he wanted. If it could serve the Lord better by Paul being taken out, that's what he wanted. Always, always for the glory of God. Remember, ready for either. To die would have been better, it had been gained for him. But at the moment it was better for him to stay here to help the brethren, he was ready for that. He was ready for the altar, he was ready for the plow. Take your Bible, go to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Look what Paul says later on. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to depart. And the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but all of them also that love His appearing. He finished up. Paul finished it out. The Lord said, Paul, it would be better for you to be with me. That would be gain for you. But Paul, I want you to stay here. There's work I got for you for others. Paul, let you stay here. Finish up, Paul. Run your course. Fight the good fight. Keep the faith. Finish up. And he did. What a testimony. To be able to say those three things. What a testimony. And he was able to say it. The Holy Ghost bore witness to him. Go to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. Verse 13. 2 Peter 1, verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. So, you know what? Peter's getting to finish up, but he knows I'm going to pull out. They finished up. When it was time to go, God pulled them out. Brethren, you just want to make sure, look here. You want to make sure that God pulls you out of this life because you've finished, not because you won't even start. You want to make sure that God pulls you out because you finish, not because you quit. If you don't remember anything else I said tonight, remember that. If you're saved, you want to make sure that God calls you home because you finished, not because you quit. Make sure of that. If God still has you here, He is not done with you. Are you His? Are you still here? Then quit moaning, quit complaining and crying, and love Him, walk with Him, and get busy for Him by doing right. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your precious Word. Lord, I pray, dear God, that You would help us, Lord, to examine ourselves. Lord, help us to honestly consider tonight how we would feel in that statement. For me to live is... Lord, I hope that we can say that for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Father, if we can't say that, help us, Lord, to come to a place of repentance, to admit, Lord, we've allowed something else to become life to us instead of Thee. Lord, help us to get our priorities back in line. Lord, help us to be as that bullock standing before the plow of the altar. Lord, help us to be in a state of readiness. Yielded to Your will if it's to go. Yielded to Your will if it's to stay and pull the plow. Lord, help us to fight the good fight of faith and not yield to lies the enemy may throw at us. Lord, if You've got us here and if we belong to You and we're still here, Lord, You know best. There must be a reason You're letting us stay here. Lord, help us to not let the enemy discourage us. Help us to not yield to it. Lord, help us to faithfully, Lord, finish up, not quit.
Lord, help us to be called home, not recalled. Father, please, we ask these things by your grace, your mercy, your love. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.